Welcome to Roots and Hustle, the podcast where African youth stop hustling blind and start building legacy. I'm your host, Waka, an engineer, entrepreneur, husband, father, and most importantly, a believer in African future. Every week, we have real conversations about money, mindset, manhood, and womanhood, and movement as well. The tools we need to break the cycles of poverty and build generational wealth. If you're ready to stop running in circles and start building something that lasts, then you're in the right place. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. It's Roots and Hustle. Let me paint you a picture. Imagine you're 20 years old in the Gambia. You've done everything right. You went to school, you passed your exams, maybe even got vocational training. You did what society told you to do. But here's the reality. With more than 40% of youth currently unemployed, that means almost half of your friends and classmates have no job, no steady income, no real path forward. And yet, the world dares to call us lazy. Lazy? Nah, we are not lazy. We are lost. And there's a difference. Because every day you see the hustle. Brothers in the markets selling secondhand clothes. Sisters frying akara by the roadside. Cousins pushing wheelbarrows. Friends chasing visa lotteries. Nobody is sitting still. But most of us are stuck in survival mode, not building for the future. And that survival trap, that's what we're breaking down today. Because here's the truth. If Africa's youth don't find a way out of survival mode, we'll lose an entire generation, not because of lack of energy, not because of lack of talent, but because of lack of vision, resources, and leadership. This episode, episode 2 of Roots and Hustle, is called Lost But Not Lazy, the Survival Trap of African Youth. It's for every young Gambian and every African who knows they're meant for more than just hustling for daily bread. It's for all of us who see the system is broken, but still believe we can build something better. Now, let's get real about what's happening, not just in the Gambia, but across Africa. Young people are sold a dream that doesn't exist. We're told, go to school, pass your exams, get a job. But the truth is, the jobs aren't there. Across Africa, youth unemployment is sitting at around 60%. In some countries. In the Gambia, like I said before, it's over 40%. That's almost half of us with no steady income. And the education system, let's be honest, too much of it is watered down, outdated, disconnected from the real world. We sit in classrooms learning theory, but no skills. In too many schools, there are no functioning computer labs, no science labs, no space where young people can experiment, fail, and innovate. So what happens? We graduate, but we're not prepared. We leave school with certificates, but no tools. And then society turns around and blames us for not succeeding. On top of that, we're drowning in distractions. Social media is shaping our mentality. Instead of seeing money as something we can use to build, too many of us only see it as quick cash to flex for likes. The constant comparison culture pushes us to chase lifestyles we can't afford. Designer clothes, flashy cars, fake appearances. While we ignore building real assets that could feed our families for generations. And while all this is happening, drugs are quietly destroying our communities. Hard drugs are being introduced into our neighborhoods. And no one is talking about the long-term impact. It's numbing ambition, stealing focus, pulling youth into cycles of addiction and wasted potential. And the saddest part, many of us don't even have mentors to guide us. We don't have people showing us how to channel our energy, how to avoid the traps, how to build step by step. Too many young people are forced to figure life out on their own. And when you're lost with no map, it's easy to wander in circles. This is why I say, we're not lazy. Laziness isn't the problem. The problem is a broken system, a lack of resources, a lack of mentorship, and a flood of distractions that keep us stuck in survival mode. And if we don't fix this, we risk raising another generation that repeats the same cycle. Let's talk about the trap itself. When I say survival trap, here's what I mean. Most young Gambians and Africans wake up every day thinking only about today. How do I eat today? How do I pay for transport today? How do I get through the day? And because we're stuck in that mode, we never get to think about tomorrow, let alone 5 years from now. The first part of the trap is lack of opportunity. Imagine you finish school. You've done everything society told you to do, but there's no job waiting. So what do? You start hustling. Maybe you sell secondhand clothes in the market. Maybe you drive a taxi. Maybe you push a wheelbarrow. Maybe you start doing small freelance gigs. And while that keeps you alive, it doesn't take you forward. It's survival, not progress. The second part of the trap is short-term money habits. Because income is unstable, we spend it as fast as it comes in. The idea of saving or investing feels impossible when you're barely covering your basics. And on top of that, in many African homes, money conversations are taboo. Parents tell you, don't talk about money, just focus on school. Or worse, they scare you. Money is dangerous. Money is corrupt. The result of that is we grow up without financial intelligence. Some of us are scared of money and never use it to build, while others waste it because they never learned the value. Both ways, we stay broke. The third part of the trap is the pressure of comparison. Social media shows us people our age flashing wealth, traveling, living big, but we don't see how they got it. Some are funded by fraud, some by sugar daddies, some by quick hustles that don't last. We compare ourselves, we feel behind, and then we take shortcuts just to catch up. And shortcuts almost always end badly. The fourth part of the trap is addiction and escape. When there's no opportunity, no guidance, no vision, escape becomes attractive. That's why drugs are spreading. That's why young people spend hours scrolling, playing games, or chasing fast thrills instead of building. It's not because they're lazy. It's because the pain of reality feels too heavy. And the final part of the trap is lack of mentorship. Without people ahead of us to guide the way, we repeat mistakes. Think about it. How many of us have sat down with someone who owns a business, who manages money well, who built something lasting, and asked them, how did you do it? For too many young people, the answer is never. So we guess, and when you guess, you lose years making avoidable mistakes. This is the survival trap. Living day to day, spending without planning, comparing without building, escaping through distraction, and lacking the guidance to rise higher. And here's the danger. The survival trap is generational. If you don't break it, you pass it on. If all you leave behind is debt and struggle, your children start from zero, just like you did. And that's why so many families stay stuck in the same cycle for decades. But here's the good news. Once you see the trap clearly, you can break it. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Now that we've broken down the survival trap, let's talk about what it's actually costing us. See, survival mode feels normal because everyone around us is doing it. We wake up, we hustle, we get through the day. But what most people don't realize is that survival comes with a price tag, and it's heavier than we think. The first cost is wasted potential. The average Gambian or African youth has talents, ideas, energy. But when you're stuck in survival mode, all that potential gets buried. You can't explore your creativity. You can't try new things. You can't build something long-term because every ounce of your energy is spent on making it through the day. That's why we see so many brilliant people never realize their full ability. It's like having gold buried in the ground, but never digging it up. The second cause is broken families, with survival is the only focus. Families don't thrive. They just manage. Parents don't get to rest. Kids don't get attention. Marriages get stressed. And when young people risk everything on the back way or fall into drugs, families are left broken. Survival mode steals not just dreams, but relationships. The third cause is community stagnation. If everyone is in survival mode, nobody is building schools, nobody is opening clinics, nobody is starting companies that employ others, the whole community stays in the same place. And what happens? We keep waiting for NGOs, governments, or donors to come and save us. But history has shown us they're not coming to save us. They'll give you aid. They'll give you speeches. But they won't build our futures for us. The fourth cost is national weakness. Let's be honest. The Gambia and many African countries are kept weak because our populations are stuck in survival. When 40% of your youth are unemployed, when half the nation depends on remittances from abroad, when the country imports even its basic food, that's not just an economic weakness. It's a vulnerability. It means outsiders can dictate terms, set policies, even control our governments. Because as long as we're busy trying to survive, we don't have the power to stand tall on the global stage. The fifth cost is the future we lose. Every year we stay in survival mode is a year we miss building something lasting. Other nations are leaping ahead. AI, green energy, space technology, medical breakthroughs. Meanwhile, we're still talking about how to fix electricity, how to feed ourselves, how to stop young people from drowning on the back way. That's the ultimate cost of survival mode. It keeps us trapped in the past while the world races towards the future. And here's the scary part. Survival mode is addictive. Because once you get used to living day by day, you stop dreaming. You stop imagining bigger. You stop asking, what if? And that is the biggest loss of all. So let me say it clearly. The cost of survival mode is not just poverty. It's lost dreams, broken families, weak communities, weak nations, and a future stolen from our children. The question is, are we willing to keep paying that price? Or are we ready to step out of survival and into building? Now that we've seen the hidden costs of survival mode, the question is, how do we get out? Because here's the truth. No one is coming to save us. Not the government, not the NGOs, not the donors. They might give us aid, they might give us projects, but aid has never built a nation. Survival keeps us begging, and begging keeps us trapped. The way out starts with mindset shifts. Step one, change how we see ourselves. We need to stop identifying ourselves as hustlers who are just surviving. We are builders, innovators, creators. The moment we shift from I need to survive to I need to build, everything changes. Survival feeds you today. Building feeds you for generations. Step two, we need to educate ourselves beyond the classroom. Let's be real. Our education system is watered down. Too much theory, not enough practical. We don't have enough labs, enough coding classes, enough financial literacy in schools. So we can't sit and wait for the government to fix it. We must self-educate. Read books, watch tutorials, learn a skill online, start a small business. Teach each other, because knowledge is no longer locked away. It's on the internet. If you have a smartphone, you have a school in your pocket. Step three, embrace technology. Do not fear it. Many of us still see technology as something for the West, but technology is our ticket to leapfrog? Why wait 50 years for factories when you can code today? Why wait for power plants when you can use solar today? Why wait for foreign investment when you can sell products online today? The world is digital, and if we see it right, we can skip the waiting line. Step 4, money discipline and financial intelligence. Now, here's one of our biggest problems in African households. Money talk is almost taboo. Parents don't explain how money works. Children grow up knowing money is important, but not how to use it. Some end up so scared of it. Some end up so scared of losing money that they never invest or take risks. While others waste money on status, clothes, parties, weddings, without building assets. We need to break that cycle. Start having real conversations about money in your homes. Learn how to save, how to invest, how to multiply what you earn. Because without financial literacy, no hustle will ever grow. And step 5, we need to build together, not alone. One of our biggest downfalls as Africans is the every man for himself mentality. But the way out of survival is community. Cooperatives, investment groups, shared resources. If 5 young people pool money, they can buy land for farming, start a taxi business, or even open a small factory. One person alone will struggle, but together we can move mountains. Step 6, we need mentorship and role models. Another thing we're missing is mentorship. Too many young people grow up without guidance. They don't see examples of success outside of footballers, musicians, or politicians. We need mentors in business, in technology, in farming, in engineering, people who can guide the next generation. If you've learned something, teach someone else. Don't die with your knowledge. Pass it on. Step 7, reject the quick fixes. This is big. Our youth are being poisoned by social media that promotes fake lifestyles, by drugs that destroy focus, by get-rich-quick schemes. If you want to escape survival, you need discipline, patience, long-term thinking. That's how real wealth is built. Quick money comes fast and disappears even faster. Legacy money takes time, but it lasts. That's the way out. Mindset, education, technology, money discipline, unity, mentorship, and rejecting quick fixes. It's not easy. It won't happen overnight, but it is possible. And it starts with us deciding that survival is not enough. We were made for more. Now let's talk about vision, because escaping survival mode isn't just about solving problems. It's about creating a future. And the future is most of us have never been taught how to see beyond tomorrow. We wake up, hustle, eat, sleep, and repeat. Survival kills vision, but without vision, a people perish. So what would it look like if Gambian and African youth stopped hustling and started building with vision? Picture this. Instead of every young Gambian dreaming of Europe, imagine young Gambians dreaming of building farms that feed the nation. Not small gardens, but AI-powered greenhouses with cold storage, drip irrigation, and export-ready packaging. The Gambia could become a food hub, supplying Senegal, Mali, even Europe. Instead of us importing rice, which makes up more than 60% of what we eat, imagine exporting it. Instead of buying cheap tomato paste from China, imagine Gambian-made tomato products filling shelves across West Africa. That's not fantasy. That's possible with vision. Picture our energy future. Right now, power cuts frustrate us daily. What if we invest in solar grids and renewable energy that not only powers our homes, but our businesses? Imagine Gambian villages lit up, schools with 24/7 internet, hospitals never worrying about generators. The technology exists today. Picture our role in the digital world. The global economy is going AI, automation, and digital services. instead of being left behind. Imagine Gambian youth trained as coders, designers, and data analysts, not just employees, but creators of African-owned platforms. Think about this. Nigeria already has fintech startups worth billions. Why not us? Why can't Gambian youth create digital banks, trading platforms, and apps that the whole of West Africa uses? Picture our communities. Right now, we see too much individual hustle. Everyone is on their own. But what if we had real community wealth? Imagine youth cooperatives that own transportation fleets. Imagine women's groups running successful export businesses. Imagine youth investors pooling money to buy apartment complexes, hotels, and farmland. That's generational wealth, not survival. Picture our culture being valued. We consume too much of other people's culture. But what if we owned ours? Gambian music, Gambian art, Gambian fashion. Marketed globally like Nigerian Afrobeats or South African Amapiano. Vision is not just about money. It's about pride and influence. Now, here's the hard truth. We've been stuck because our governments and outside donors have kept us thinking small. They tell us Africa's place is agriculture, but only raw agriculture. Not industry, not tech. They want us to stay in the fields while the rest of the world builds factories and software. Why? Because we were fed false narratives, told the progress must come slowly, told that we are too poor, too unstable, too small to compete. And I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. This is why we must wake up. We can't waste another 50 years waiting to develop like Europe did. We must skip steps, jump directly into digital farming, AI-powered education, mobile-first economies. The same way Africa skipped landlines and went straight to mobile phones, we could skip outdated systems and go straight to the future. Vision means refusing to believe that our destiny is just to survive. Vision means daring to imagine Africa as a global player. So let me ask you this. When you close your eyes and think of your future, what do you see? Is it just you hustling for survival? Or do you see your children in schools with labs, your community with businesses, your country exporting products, your continent leading in energy, food, air, innovation? Vision is power. And if we don't take ownership of our own vision, someone else will write it for us. And trust me, their vision will keep us at the bottom. All right, let's wrap this up. We've talked about survival mode. We've broken down why so many Gambian and African youth are stuck there. Bad education system, lack of resources, drugs creeping into our communities, the distraction of social media, the silence around money, and the absence of real mentorship. We've talked about the consequences, how survival mode kills vision, kills potential, and keeps us trapped in the cycle of poverty. But we've also talked about the way out, building financial intelligence, using technology, demanding mentorship, holding ourselves accountable, and most importantly, daring to have a vision. Now it's on you. See, I don't want this to just be another podcast you listen to while you cook or scroll or commute. I want this to be action, real change. That's why every week we're going to close with a challenge of the week. Here's your challenge for this week. Write down the top three survival habits you live by right now. Maybe it's living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe it's chasing quick money. Maybe it's avoiding conversations about money or leaning too much on luck. Be honest. Now write down three growth habits you can replace them with. If you spend all your money on consumption, change one habit to saving or investments. If you scroll hours on social media, replace some at the time with learning a skill. If you're surrounded by friends who don't challenge you, seek out maybe one person who does. Find one younger person and share what you're learning. Because survival mode is a chain. And the only way we break it is by teaching the next person to step out to do this. And you're not just listening to Roots and Hustle. You are living it. Because let me remind you, the Gambia is one of the youngest countries in the world. Africa is the youngest continent in the world. That means the future is literally in our hands. But if all we do is survive, then the future dies with us. So I'll leave you with this. You are more than survival. You are more than hustle for today. You are a builder, a leader, a visionary. This is Roots and Hustle. Let's step out of survival and step into building legacies. Until next week.